know-it-all? Do you annoy your family by shouting the answers while watching Jeopardy? Do you drive people crazy when you start a sentence with, well, actually? Well, guess what? You can go fact yourself! Hi, everyone. Welcome to Go Fact Yourself, the show where we take the smartest people we know and make them look dumb. And then smart again. I'm Helen Hong. And now, from the Angel City Brewery in downtown Los Angeles, here's our moderator, J. Keith Van Stratton.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you, everybody. What a lovely, lovely crowd. That guy's applauding on his leg. He's holding a beverage, but he still gets the spirit of things, and so he's slapping his... It's a knee-slapping good time.
J. Keith, it's priorities. If
it's
you're
priorities,
holding a beer,
yes.
You can't clap because you can't put the beer down.
I feel like there's a Shark Tank invention in there. Like, someone needs to invent a way
that you can
like clap as well as holding your beer.
Yeah, because for a while we were snapping, and it just doesn't sound as good.
And for that reason, I'm out. Helen, how are you?
I'm very well, Jake Keith.
You've got some exciting news. Helen has been mentioning on our episodes that she's been auditioning for pilot season, and she booked a pilot.
I booked a pilot! I booked a network television pilot for ABC.
One of our top five networks.
Correct. That's correct. And it's very exciting. It's the pilot concept was created by this wonderful woman named Jessica Gao. She won an Emmy for writing on Rick and Morty.
Ooh.
I think she actually created Pickle Rick, if you guys are Rick and Morty fans. So she's that level of genius. And, you know, they gave her an Emmy, and then ABC promptly was like, "Well, you want a pilot?" And she was like, "Yeah." So the story is about her crazy Chinese American family. It's like an almost all Asian cast. We do have one token white guy.
Not me, for some reason.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not Jay Keith.
No. I'll remain the token white guy on this show.
Correct.
Yeah. And, congratulations. That's exciting.
And I play a character named Auntie Linda, who's well into her 50s.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not going to take offense.
Okay. They're paying you that much, huh?
I was on a Nickelodeon series for 5 years called The Thundermans playing another Asian woman in her 50s named Mrs. Wong.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's my lot in life to just play a woman in her 50s for my entire life. Yeah. When I first booked that, I was like in my early 30s.
Yeah.
And I just going to be an old lady.
All right, well, that's very exciting. By the time this episode drops, well, we might already know if it's going to be on the fall schedule or the mid-season schedule. It's very exciting.
Fingers crossed.
Right, but for now, Helen is not too big to join us, so we're gonna take it.
Yes, correct. I'm not a millionaire yet.
Yeah.
And I haven't, it's not gone to series, so when you call me, J. Keith, I'm not like, who dis?
Right, right.
New swag, who dis?
Right, but... hopefully that will be the case. We're so happy for you. Happy
Yay!
For Ms. Helen Hong.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, I'm sorry, we still have to do this. Today on Go Fact Yourself, two guests will compete to answer questions about facts they know, facts they might not know, and frankly, facts they should know. Plus, we'll meet actual experts on two very different topics. And finally, we'll declare one of our guests the winner of today's show. Let's get started and meet today's guest. Helen, who is up first?
She is an Emmy-nominated actor, improviser, and voice artist whose memorable roles include appearances in all three Austin Powers movies. It's Mindy Sterling!
Mindy Sterling! Hi, Mindy. Have a seat right there.
I brought my purse because I don't trust him.
That's great. I'm glad that you trust me. You're leaving it open and very close to my reach.
I leave my purse open everywhere, but it's always with me.
It's always with you.
All right.
I
don't know what that means.
Welcome, right. Mindy.
Hi, Helen. I think you are so funny, by the way. And I am so happy that you got a pilot because if people don't know, it is... H-E-L-L-I-S-H to go out on those things
yeah.
and get
one. Halish.
So, good for you. I didn't know if I
Thank
could
you.
Say that.
Yeah, no, you can say that.
Yeah.
All right.
Mindy, you were very concerned about a couple things when I booked you for today's show. One, that you don't know anything.
I know nothing.
All right. The second, that you'd be able to get here because you apparently live near the finish line of the LA Marathon, which ran today.
It's like right out in front of my apartment, yes, building. And so it is crazy. And even walking my dog, it's like... to get back into my alleyway, do you have your license with you? No. But you just saw me come out with the dog about 20 minutes ago. Do you have your license? No, no one told me.
Security is very tight at a marathon finish line.
Wow. Well, someone should tell us.
No warning. And so did you make it?
Here?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Oh, and ladies and gentlemen, she made it.
And in good time.
The suspense was killing me. Yeah.
Because it was that 4:30. You better be here at 4:30 exactly. Right. So that makes me very stressful.
Well, you made it here, but you'll never make it back.
Never.
To your house. That's the problem. No. They let you out, but they're not going to let you back in.
I don't have my license.
Yeah, so she's going to be sleeping here at the Angel City Brewery.
Pretty nice.
Yeah.
Minty.
No.
Helen mentioned that you are an Emmy-nominated actor. You've actually been nominated for 2 Emmys, but in a very interesting category.
Well, it was for I don't know, what category was it?
I believe it was short form.
Short form, like a web.
Okay.
But I was nominated twice for 2 different things. So
right.
I really was working on just, you know, I guess hitting myself out.
You're the queen of the short form.
Yes. So it was like there were 5 women, and I was 2 of them.
Oh, you know, in other words, you got 2 nominations the same year.
And that same, yes,
oh,
in the same
that.
Category.
You were competing against yourself?
So I competed against myself and lost.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Was there a ceremony? Did you get to...
Yes, it was like an Emmys, and I'd never been before. So, you know, I went there and red carpet, and I borrowed a dress, and...
Everybody asked you what you were wearing.
Yes, and, you know, and then my brother, the whole time, I went with my brother and my son, and my brother kept looking at me going, "You're going to get this. You're going to get it. This is for you." And it was like, leave me alone, because I was, like, so nervous. And then I really understand when you don't win that it's really hard to smile.
Oh, that's what you deserve the Emmy for, smiling.
It is, because you're like this, and then you got your brother going, "Oh, sis, you're going to get this." "Oh, well, maybe. I don't know." You know, and then it's like, Jane Lynch.
Did you have an acceptance speech ready to go?
Not at all.
Oh.
Not at all. No, I really, and I don't remember people's names and things, as you will find out tonight.
Is that important in a trivia game?
Well, it's a good thing your brother's not here.
Yeah, because he would.
What's it like to have a sibling who believes in you?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No. I have to ask you about your wonderful role in the Austin Powers movies. You played Frau Farbissina. Am I saying that correct?
Farbissina,
excuse me.
You're so great.
So
and
great.
So funny.
So iconic, yeah.
Thank you so,
so
much.
So iconic. And as soon as I saw your face, I was like, oh my God, it's her!
Yeah.
Thank you. No, it's like the best thing that, you know, that's ever sort of happened to me, or one of many, but... No, I mean, I never get tired of hearing people get excited about it and come up to me. So I'm very, very lucky.
Do you get recognized all the time?
Yes, I do.
It's really great, right?
Like, what's the general, like, what's the most common thing that people run up to?
Well, I get, I get a lot of, I mean, you probably get that. Oh, I know you.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, yes. Oh, my God. Scott.
Right.
So I do. And I love it. I really do.
And did you know Mike Myers before?
I knew him only. I met him through Julia Sweeney brought him up, and we did improv together. He thought I was really funny, and what he loved about me was that I knew nothing.
Well, we're looking forward to finding out exactly what you do know. We know that we're lucky
to
have you.
Maybe I'll surprise myself.
Who knows? I was trying to get out of this segment. It's Mindy Sterling. What are you going to do? Helen, against whom will Mindy be competing tonight?
He is an award-winning author, humorist, and storyteller who tours the world with his one-man shows. It's Dylan Brody!
Dylan Brody! Dylan bounding his way to the stage.
Welcome, Dylan.
Bringing his notebook, looking very...
professorial.
Yes, indeed. Also, I feel could deal me a hand of blackjack in a pinch.
That's right. I'm dressed like a blackjack dealer from Reno. It must be time to start a show.
Absolutely. Dylan, nice to see you again. How are you?
It's a joy and a pleasure to be here.
Indeed as well. Now, Dylan, there are 2 places that I often run into you. One of them is at storytelling shows around Los Angeles, and the other is at college alumni events, because you and I both attended Sarah Lawrence College.
We both attended Sarah Lawrence College at very different times.
Yes. How was your Sarah Lawrence College experience?
Significantly longer ago than yours.
All right, I was looking maybe more for the quality rather than
the
quantity of it.
It was good. I had a wonderful time there. I did 3 years there and then my senior year abroad in London.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there with many, many people who have gone on to be far, far more successful than I.
I'm glad you're here.
I'm delighted to be here. I'm delighted to be here. I was talking to... Jim earlier, Jim Newman,
our producer,
wonderful
yes.
Deliverer of Coke for,
yes.
for Helen.
Yes, among his many tasks. Yes,
Heavenly
many
angel.
Many great qualities. Yes,
and I was saying that eventually, when this moves on to television, it will become celebrity driven. And he said that it's already celebrity driven, which made me wonder how I came to be involved in it.
Dylan, do I have to remind you that according to Helen's introduction, you are an award-winning author, humorist, and storyteller who tours the world with his one-man shows?
I am aware of these things, and yet I don't feel I am celebrated for them.
I feel like I'm doing everything I can right now, in fact.
Yeah, absolutely. I apologize. I am delighted to have deigned to be on your show.
All right.
J. Keith Van... May I call you J. Keith Van Stratton?
Yes, I insist on it, in fact. Dylan, you describe yourself as a humorist as opposed to a comedian. How do you differentiate between the terms?
I quit smoking pot and bought cufflinks.
Wow. That's literally the best answer ever.
That's pretty good.
Once I'm done with comedy, you know, when I want to graduate onto humorist, yeah. I too am going to buy cufflinks. Yeah. But probably not quit
See,
smoking
I've
pot.
See, I buy and wear a lot of cufflinks. I'm halfway there. Tell us, you also teach, in addition to telling stories, you teach and you coach. What kind of issues or topics or problems do writers or storytellers come to you with, and how do you solve them?
Well, it's frequently either that they can't get started on the screenplay they've been talking about writing or the book they've been talking about, or that they can't finish the screenplay or the book they've been talking about. And over my life, 83% of my therapy has been me paying someone to remind me that the creative process is inherently anxiety-producing.
Hmm.
And I figured out that anxiety disguises itself as a lack of discipline, as procrastination, as avoidance, as all sorts of things. And once I can figure out where the anxiety lies for any writer, I can crack their block and get them working. It's extraordinary. I feel as though, you know, there are these acting techniques, and you can ask someone what technique they study, and they will tell you, nobody has yet codified any writing techniques. And I feel as though I've cracked something.
What?
And the people who come to me seem to be able to finish their projects.
Wait, so you're like a writer's block whisperer?
That's correct. I'm a writer whisperer. I don't talk directly to the block, because really, where would that get anyone?
And do you ever get writer's block yourself?
No.
Because you know how to...
I've always been incredibly prolific.
Right.
And I just thought that was just because, you know, in lieu of talent.
Someone's cocky.
But
No. He didn't finish the rest of that sentence. Yeah. But then you discovered that it was not.
But I realized that it was not in lieu of talent. It was that I didn't have the anxiety that many writers have. My anxiety comes up when it's time to sell the work.
Ah, I see.
So I'm constantly working on myself with that while I work with other people on the actual doing of the work so that they can then become far better known than I am.
I will pay you so much money to just sit next to me and just hit me on the head.
I'm
right here. I'm already sitting next to you. No.
I get paragraphs.
I think Helen brings up a good point, though. Is do you find that it's best to be gentle with someone who's having difficulty, or is it best to be tough?
First of all, I feel it is always best to be gentle with everybody. I really get annoyed when people say, I'm just giving you a hard time.
Right.
Really? Because my times aren't hard enough already. That's,
yeah, life
that's
is difficult.
What I need from you as a friend.
Yeah.
No, it's always about gentle, because it's always about being reassuring so that the anxiety can dissipate. So that you can have confidence both in what you are doing and in what you want to be doing.
I think this is a good myth that is good to dispel, that I think a lot of people think that someone who's successful doesn't have that anxiety. If someone who's successful doesn't have difficulty creating, and a lot of people who are successful have the difficulty and yet find a way to create anyway.
Yes, and there are some people who are very successful and don't create well at all. They're just very good at selling their work.
Oh.
And that's a whole different skill set.
Now, speaking of which, you toured with your one-man show around the world.
I did. I did. I did a tour that took me to Chicago, Barcelona, London, and then wound up in New York.
Wow.
With Dylan Brody's Driving Hollywood.
And you ended up making a video of that show.
Well, I did the video first. It was originally just a spoken word, sort of a stand-up set, although, you know, not as funny, because cufflinks.
Cufflinks, sure. Absolutely.
It's still available at nextupcomedy.com, available there if you want to see it. And then Blue Panther Productions, a woman named Laura, saw the show and said, oh, this is great, can we stage this? And it turned into a theatrical experience.
That's awesome.
Toured, and it was wonderful.
What was it like to do a Dylan Brody show in Barcelona? Barcelona.
Barcelona. It was sparse.
Oh.
It was nice. There were a couple of nights that we were sold out, and then a few nights that I was doing a very intimate show. But because I have, you know, the history in stand-up, I'm totally comfortable making the adjustment between, oh, it's a big enough audience that we have a fourth wall, and right. it's a small enough audience that we really obviously don't.
Interesting.
And it was good fun. The whole tour was a huge change. It was sort of when I started to realize, have the realizations about anxiety. Because I have travel anxiety. And I realized that travel anxiety is exactly the same thing as creative anxiety.
Right.
But isn't that anxiety in general? Anxiety is about the unknown, about not trusting, right. and about, we have no control.
It's all the same thing.
So everybody in this world has anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've met a few who just blindly blast through with no... One of them...
I think those are sociopaths.
As I recall, one of them became president.
Yeah, oh, there it is. Dylan, we're so happy to have you.
I'm happy to be
SLC
here.
SLC forever. Dylan Brody, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, J. Keith Van Stratton.
All right, Mindy and Dylan, we ask each of you to provide us with a few topics outside your field of work in which you feel you have some expertise. Mindy, you said you know a lot about how to put on makeup, decorating your apartment, and Project Runway.
Ooh.
Whereas Dylan, you said you know a lot about Nikola Tesla, Korean martial arts, and the John Byrne, Chris Claremont era of X-Men.
That is all correct, sir.
All right. Well, later on, we're going to ask each of you some in-depth trivia questions about one of those topics. But first, we're going to get your thoughts on something you might know nothing about. It's time to split some hairs with our What's the Difference round. We'll have one question for each of you, each worth up to 2 points. If either of you gives an incorrect answer, the other person has a chance to steal. Your topic today, Home on the Range. First up in Home on the Range, Mindy.
Uh-oh.
Mindy. No. It is starting, I have to warn you. It is beginning.
I have anxiety!
Oh. Well, let's be gentle. Yes, we'll calm you. Mindy, they both help make a home-cooked meal, but what is the difference between an oven and a range? An oven and a range.
An oven is on top and a range is on the bottom.
We have Mindy's answer. You want to give that any more thought or explanation?
An oven, it cooks faster, and a range is old-fashioned.
An old-fashioned is a range as opposed to the newfangled
ovens
that we're all familiar with. All right, we have Mindy's answer. We don't know yet if she is correct. Dylan, if you don't think she's got it right, you can steal. What do you think?
I'm going to say that an oven is a contained space in which food is cooked from all sides at once.
Okay.
A range is the top portion with the burners. And possibly a range is the whole device that contains both the oven and the burners area.
Possibly or definitely.
I'm going to go with my first one. The range is on top, the oven is inside.
The range is on top.
The range is burners and bottom heat cooking.
Uh-huh.
Right? It cooks from the bottom up on a pan.
Uh-huh.
And then the oven is an internal womb-like structure.
A womb-like structure.
Where you can cook babies. No, that's not right. Where you can cook food from all directions.
It got dark really fast.
Yeah.
It really all did. Right. I don't know how that happened.
Note Creepy. To self, don't go to Dylan's for dinner. all right, well, this segment is getting overcooked. Let's go to Helen Hong at the judges' table for the facts.
Here are the facts. An oven is a box or chamber in which things are roasted or baked. And if you listen to episode 21 of Go Fact Yourself, you can hear the difference between roasting and baking, guys. A range is an appliance that includes both an oven and a stove or cooktop. So every range includes an oven, but not every oven includes a range.
Whoa, right? Yeah. That is, of course, correct, Helen. Also, the first commercial microwave ovens were called radar ranges because they came from radar technology and were about as big as a range. What does it mean as far as our points go, Helen?
I'm going to give Dylan 1 point for saying the oven is a contained space. So
one point for Dylan. Yeah. All right.
This is very exciting.
You almost got 2 points, but you went against your second answer and went back to the first without that.
It's because I couldn't think of the word stove.
Next in Home on the Range is Dylan. Dylan, when home on the range, both the deer and the antelope play. But what is the main visible difference between a deer and an antelope? A deer and an antelope.
This is what the main visible difference?
Yes, the main visible difference. We are not going into their DNA at this juncture.
I think deer horns are... Deer are does, and so only the males of the deer have horns. So maybe amongst the antelope, the females have horns as well.
So that is the difference.
That's what I'm going to go with.
All right, we've got Dylan's answer. Mindy was shaking her head violently from side to side, implying she might know something. Mindy, what do you think?
I don't know a thing, but...
But if you did, what would it be?
I was going to say the horns, because I don't think deer have horns. Mm-hmm. So the antelope has horns, and they're big.
Right.
They're big coming out of the antelope's head.
That's where the horns are, on the head.
That is where it is. So when you see that, you go, that's not a deer, that's an antelope.
Whereas when you see a deer, what are you seeing?
There's a deer.
Okay, very well said. Well, this segment has left the range. Let's go to Helen Hong at the judges' table for the facts.
Here are the facts. When it comes to the main visible difference, it's all about what's on their head. Most male and female antelope have horns, which don't branch out and which are permanent. Most male but not female deer have antlers, which are like horns but not the same thing. They do branch out and are temporary. They lose them seasonally and grow them back, and lose them again and grow them back. And lose them again, and grow them back. And
Helen, we've got to move on. That is correct, of course.
Wait a minute, Bambi didn't have horns.
Bambi was a baby.
Yeah. What does that mean as far as our points go, Helen?
So I'm going to give half a point to Mindy, because you did know that antelope have horns, and that deer don't, but you didn't know about the...
Okay, I know. I get it.
Half a point for Mindy. You're on the board, Mindy. What is our score at the end of that first round?
At the end of that round, Mindy Sterling has half a point and Dylan Brody has 1 point.
Those scores are bound to change as we move on to questions about topics our guests have chosen for themselves. That's all up ahead when we come back on Go Fact Yourself.
Hello, listeners of Maximum Fun. I want to tell you about our newest podcast that tells you all about the truth of the flat Earth.
Have you been looking out over the horizon and you've been thinking, wait a minute, this doesn't look round. I've been lied to my whole life.
What is NASA doing with $52
million
a day?
Come on. We explode the myths.
Just kidding. We're Ono, Ross, and Carrie, and we investigate extraordinary claims.
That's right. We investigate extraordinary claims firsthand. We go undercover in fringe groups. We get alternative medicine treatments. And we hang out with people who have unusual beliefs, like flat earthers, 9/11 truthers.
We do ghost investigations. We've joined Scientology, and we got baptized in the Mormon church.
If it goes bump in the night, then so do we. Why don't you check out Ono, Ross, and Carrie at MaximumFun.org?
Welcome back to Go Fact Yourself, where our score is Mindy Sterling with half a point and Dylan Brody with 1 point. Once again, here's J. Keith Van Stratton.
Thank you, Helen Hong. Mindy Sterling, of your many interests, you told us you know a lot about how to put on makeup, decorating your apartment, and Project Runway. Let's find out a little bit more about each one. First of all, you said you know a lot about how to put on makeup, which I don't understand how you could know, because you obviously don't wear any.
Because I know how to put it on.
Oh.
To make yourself look a little better. Because I look horrible without it.
I can't imagine that's true. Now tell us about it, your interest in makeup and how you learned so much about how to put it on.
I don't know. I think, you know, when you work and you go to makeup artists and they sit there and they put stuff on. I'm always talking to the makeup artists and asking, you know, so what is your favorite thing? Or why should I wear this? Or what do I do with my eyes or my lips? So I get all of these great tips and then I go, you know, Google everything. So it's really fun and I love makeup.
So you like to like play around with it at home in front of the
mirror?
Yeah,
I mean, I think I look so much better with makeup and I just.
Do you have a favorite tip for applying makeup that you would like to share with our audience?
Well, I have to use one of those really old-fashioned mirrors that are about this close to your face because I can't see. So, yes. And so it's easier for me to see and do that. And then, you know, you go back. I don't know. I think it's just, you know, women were so inundated with fashion and looks and hair and Botox, and I don't do that, but I will put makeup on, so hopefully that I am alleviating some of the things that drive me crazy.
Enhancing your beauty is what I think you mean to say.
Enhancing what I have and not what I should have.
All right, fair enough. You also said you know a lot about decorating your apartment.
Well, I have a very cute apartment, and this is what I do. When you're decorating, you're putting pillows out and stuff, don't take off the receipts. Leave them on because I may go, I don't want this, like a week later.
Ah.
But what happens I forget to take off the tag, and then somebody catches me when they come over, and what a great place. Ooh, this costs $15.99.
Yeah.
So I do forget to do that, but
I would think that's a bonus. That's a feature, not a bug.
I like. I mean, I think it's smart.
Yeah.
But yes. So I'm in the morning. I like to look on my iPad and just look to see how people decorate and things that are out and sale. Everything get on sale.
Yeah.
That's
Amen.
A good tip. All right.
May I ask a question about just a moment ago? I want to know about the old-fashioned mirrors that are very close to your face.
Well, it has the
magnifying.
Yes. Thank you.
And then the regular, so I can go back and forth because I can't see.
I understand.
Sorry.
I was,
it's old. It's old.
I was just confused. I was trying to figure out if there were like old mirrors that don't reflect from far away that I was unaware of.
No,
and
no.
I wanted to know what.
No,
that
no.
Was.
Mindy is not a vampire, as far as we know.
Not yet.
All right. Finally, Mindy, you said you know a lot about the TV show Project Runway.
Well, I don't know if I know a lot about it, but I love Project Runway. Does anybody here like Project Runway? Anybody?
Oh. That sounds absolutely.
Because I love the art that they're doing something that is artistic and creative. And it isn't, I don't like reality television where people just, you know, have dinner and fight with each other.
Agreed.
Or drink and wear beautiful outfits and, I feel horrible about myself. So,
or pick a bride out of a pile of brides.
It's, like, yes.
You don't like the show Bride Pile?
It's so creepy.
Oh,
to
God,
me.
I binge watched that.
It's just creepy about, you know, following people's lives that are so much better than yours. And, so this way, you get to see people create something, and there is a prize, and there's something that they work really hard to make or do, and I love the art of that, and I love fashion.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, so to summarize, you said you know a lot about how to put on makeup, decorating your apartment, and Project Runway. Today, we want to quiz you about Project Runway.
I knew it.
I had considered breaking into your apartment and quizzing you about how you decorated, but I thought this might be more appropriate.
That's the stupidest thing I ever came up with, decorating my apartment.
Do you have a favorite season or favorite designer from the run of the show?
No.
Okay.
Have you watched it from the beginning?
I like them all, yes.
From the very beginning.
And now I've been watching All Stars. So then they bring back people that won, and then you watch them with Alyssa Milano.
Just ahead, we're going to enlist the help of a bona fide expert in Project Runway to test your mastery in the subject with an expert-level question worth up to 3 points. But before that, to let you show off, here are 5 trivia questions about the topic, each worth 1 point. If you want it, you're allowed to hint for any 2 of these 5 questions. Now, Dylan, do listen closely, because if Mindy answers incorrectly, you can steal. Dylan, by the way, how much do you know about Project Runway?
I watched it fairly regularly from early on. My wife hooked me on it.
Oh, all right.
And I was totally into it. I love the idea that we are celebrating creativity as opposed to, you know, mindless stupidity.
Yes, thank you.
Are you talking about this show?
No, I appreciate this
He's
show
talking
as well.
About Bride Pile.
A Bride Pile, of course. All right, Mindy, it sounds like you got your work cut out for you if you want to keep the answers away from Dylan. Let's begin. Here's question number 1 about Project Runway. What German supermodel was one of the original judges of Project Runway and told losing designers auf Wiedersehen?
Oh, well, that's Heidi Klum.
Helen?
That is correct.
That is correct. 1 point for Mindy. Heidi, as you mentioned, did leave after the last season. Question number 2.
She also, I think, has left America's Got Talent.
And Seal. Question number 2. Well, I didn't tell her to do it. She left. Question number 2. Mentor Tim Gunn has become a real star who's appeared in TV commercials for Dish Network and Command brand picture hangers using what 3-word catchphrase that he made famous on Project Runway?
Oh, okay, it's keep it up, or do good, or just pick one, or see you later.
It's 3 words.
I know!
Would you like to pick one of those or the correct answer? I'm trying to help. I'm desperately trying to help you.
Keep going.
Okay, keep going.
Yes.
Helen, is it okay, keep going?
It is not.
No, I'm terribly sorry. Dylan with a chance to steal.
I believe that would be make it work.
Helen?
That is correct.
It is make it work.
And I watch it all the time. I just want you to know this.
All right, let's see if you can bounce back with this. Question number 3.
You dress this professorially, you have to know something.
Question number 3, Mindy. Tim Gunn frequently tells contestants to use the accessory wall thoughtfully. The accessory wall has been sponsored by 9 different companies over the 17 seasons of the show. Name 2 of those companies.
Right now it's JCPenney's. The other one is... Kohl's.
So you're saying JCPenney and Kohl's. Helen, yes. Is that correct?
That is not.
No, I'm terribly sorry. Dealing with a chance to steal.
I know JCPenney is correct because one time I wrote for the JCPenney television shopping channel, the smart answer for today's shopper, although they went out of business, so they are now the smart answer for yesterday's shopper. Mm-hmm. Target? Did Target do it once?
Is that your answer?
I'm going to say Target.
He says JCPenney and Target, Helen.
That is not correct.
No, not correct. JCPenney was correct. The others were Just Fab, Macy's, PiperLime.com, BlueFly.com, Aldo, Belk, Banana Republic, and Lord & Taylor.
I feel like half of these companies have gone under.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not the best business decision to sponsor the accessory wall. Helen, would you like to give her a half point, though, for JCPenney? It's
yes,
up to you.
Yes, I would. Thank you, Helen. I would.
That would go very well with her other half point from earlier today. All right, let's see.
Because I plan to win the car.
Wait, we're giving away a car? Oh.
We're giving away your car.
Oh, but that's no prize. Good luck with it.
Question number four, Mindy. As a reminder, you do have two hints available if you'd like to use the hint. Question number four. What is the name of the dog frequently seen snoozing at the Mood Fabric Store?
Oh, gosh. Darn it. I have no idea.
Would you like to use one of your hints?
No.
Why not?
I don't know, because I think there'll be something else that'll be better.
Well,
coming? No, I should use it.
Well, okay. You only have two hints, and you have two questions left. So,
I'll surmise
that using one of them now.
Okay,
would
then
be
I will use one. Helen said yes.
Helen, how about that first hint?
It's also the brand name of a popular Swiss wristwatch.
Swatch.
Helen?
That is correct.
That is correct. Ah!
That dog is my favorite member of the cast.
It's pretty good. It's pretty cute. All right, question number five. This is tricky. Let's see how you do. Some of the designers could be models themselves. In fact, some were. Season 9 winner Anya Anyong-chi competed in the Miss Universe pageant, representing what country?
What's her name again?
Anya Anyong-chi. You do have a hint available if you'd like to use
a hint, please.
Helen, how about
Helen,
that second
a hint?
Okay, I'll.
All right, so sorry. No, go, you go. You go.
Helen, can we give her a hint, please?
Audience, let's all ask Helen for the hint.
Why don't I give you a hint? It's one of the few countries in the world with an ampersand in its name.
I have no idea, Dina.
It's something and something.
Can you just sounds like? No, can't do that one.
No. Okay, no answer there. Dylan with a chance to steal.
Would it be Turks and Caicos?
Ellen?
It is not.
No,
Turks
it's the
and
other one. It's Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh, Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh, my gosh, those were
some
hard.
People in our audience knew it. That was a number five. That is very difficult. Yet you still did rather well in that round, Mindy.
Did I?
Well, you're here.
Yeah.
Now, here is your expert level question that requires multiple answers. It is time for your cluster fact. This question is so high level, we'll be bringing on an expert to assess your response, so the answer is worth up to 3 points.
All right.
Mindy, as we record tonight, the most recently completed season of Project Runway was season 16, which had some memorable firsts, including the first winner to come from a certain country in Asia. For up to 3 points, what was this winner's name? What country in Asia does he come from? And what fellow designer became his close friend or brother on the show?
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's the first question?
What was his name?
His name was King Ka.
King Ka, all right.
All right.
And what Asian country did he come from?
He came from Fiji.
From Fiji, all right. And what fellow designer became his close friend or brother on the show?
Jim Burrell.
Jim Burrell. All right, Helen is taking note of those answers. We have an expert on hand who can tell us for sure. Helen, who do we have tonight?
Here with us tonight is a fashion designer who won season 16 of Project Runway. It's Kentaro Kamayama.
Kentaro Kamayama, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi!
Hello, Kentaro.
So good.
Oh, Kentaro coming over and greeting Mindy.
Kentaro.
A warm embrace. Please, Kentaro, have a seat there and pull up right close to that
microphone.
He was
so good, oh my God!
He won! Yay!
Congratulations!
Hello, Kentaro.
Hello.
Hello, I'm so happy to have you here. I'm especially happy to have you here because you actually have a show tonight.
Yeah, I do.
Tell us about this show and why are you here?
Well, Jim asked me to come.
Jim is very persuasive.
Yeah, so I said okay.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see Mindy.
Yay!
I love you.
Excellent.
I love you.
There's a love fest up here, and Dylan, frankly, you're in the way. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm doing my best to be back here so these two can have a connection.
Kintaro, you have a fashion show tonight?
Yeah.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the show, what you're showing and where it is.
It's LA Fashion Week. It's Maine and it's spring.
Wow. It's right around here.
Yeah.
In downtown LA.
Yeah.
And you have a whole collection and you're going to present it?
Kind of, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What goes into getting ready for a fashion show during a fashion week like that?
I have to make dresses, right?
Yes.
That's about it.
That's it, okay. Fair enough.
Right. Well, do you love everything that you've made for this?
Huh? I'm sorry. Yeah, I did. Sometimes I have a lot of money from sponsors, but this time, no. So,
But you still can, rags to riches, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Your work on the show was so beautiful. Has winning the show changed things for you? How has it changed things?
I think so, but I didn't mean to win. I kind of won, but I'm happy.
You didn't mean to win?
No.
What did you mean to do?
What do you mean you didn't mean to win?
Well, I just wanted to do
good work.
Yeah, really, yeah.
He was very quiet. Did anybody see him on this?
Yeah.
You were so quiet, and everybody loved you on the show, or at least that's how they showed it on TV.
Yeah.
So you didn't go on to be competitive or catty, you just wanted to
do
your work.
I wanted to make a lot of good friends.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, you made a very good friend with one of your fellow designers. Are you guys still friends?
Oh, yeah. He's coming to my fashion show tonight.
Oh, wow. Which one?
Oh. Brandon.
Oh!
Of course you know.
Sorry.
Yeah, now you know. Now you know. You had been trained and performed as a pianist and a composer.
Yeah.
And in fact, you got to use a piece that you composed in your final presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Had you always been doing both music and fashion, or did you segue from one to the other?
I always do that both.
You always do them both?
Yeah.
Really?
And, when I create anything like fashion show, things like that, I always inspired by music. Not really inspired. I kind of use the theory and things like that to my fashion show.
Oh, really?
Often I think of a sonata form. First theme, second theme, those development, coda, closure. So everything when I try to make a piece, a collection, mm-hmm. it really comes very musically.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Uh-huh. Wow. So you were a trained pianist, which, I'm sure your Asian parents are very happy about.
Yeah, that's one of those Taika Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then,
yeah, really.
How do your Asian parents feel about you doing fashion?
They're happy.
Now that you won, right?
Yeah, but they really don't know what's going on, be honest.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the same with me in comedy.
All right.
My parents are like...
What was the process like to get on the show? Had you applied before for previous seasons?
Yeah, online.
Online, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And how do you find out that you've been selected? What was that like?
They call me.
Okay.
They really do, yeah.
So they all go on, they're on television, yeah. Then you get a call,
yeah.
And yes.
And I don't tell anyone of those.
Oh, okay. So how long did you know, how much time did you have where you knew you were on the show before you could tell anybody?
I don't remember long,
okay.
Because after that I won.
Right.
Then I couldn't tell.
Wait, but you live in Japan?
Oh, no, I live in Hollywood.
Live here.
You live here, you're from there.
So so people weren't where did you disappear to for 3 months?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some people got very, emotional about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, we are good friends. Why you didn't tell me?
Right.
Yeah.
You won a TV show, and you won the show, and,
But you couldn't.
It's $1 million fine. So
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, the big fine.
But they felt but I was your best friend. She
yeah,
told
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're this was happening. I'm sorry. And she didn't respond after that.
You lost a friendship?
Yeah, but I don't care.
Yeah.
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 Because you got your $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. I was going to say, if you need new friends, I would like to apply your new friend. So what was... I know a lot of times if there are people of Japanese descent who make a big accomplishment in the United States, that people in Japan follow it very closely. Was there a big following in Japan?
No, really.
No, really? Interesting.
Yeah. But we don't pay for cable. So everybody has about 10 channels they can watch, and about good, they don't repeat.
I see.
Right?
Wow.
So then if they want to watch my show, they have to pay extra.
Oh.
Extra cable.
Right.
They didn't want to do that.
Yeah, a lot of people. So a lot of people wouldn't be able to watch it.
Interesting. So in other words, you'll get more recognized in the United States than
uh-huh.
in Japan.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's very interesting. What did you learn from the show? Did it make you a better designer?
Well, like when I was a pianist, like I was going to like piano competition, so mm-hmm. like I kind of like know how good I am or how bad I am.
Right.
So I always kind of make sure like, you know, where I am at as a pianist, but like design, like I don't know. So like going to the competition was kind of like the moment that I can make sure how good I am or like how bad I am. So that was good.
That's really
interesting. Yeah, now you can say, I'm the best, bitches.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
That's what Helen would do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the best.
Awesome. Well, we're so happy to have you here. Let's get to the reason that we brought you as far as our game is concerned. You heard the question that we asked of Mindy. First, we wanted to know who was the winner of season 16 of Project One Way. Helen, what did Mindy say?
Mindy said King Kong.
And I love it.
No.
Isn't that what you said?
No, I said King Kars. I don't know.
Kika.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought you said King Kong.
No, I think she said King Ka.
Maybe it came out that way, but not in my mind.
No,
it wasn't
in your mind.
It
was
that.
King Ka.
King
Ka. Did King Ka win Project Runway?
No.
Oh, yeah, King Ka was so happy.
Oh, then King Ka did win. Oh, we might have to give Mindy the point. I was under the impression it was Kentaro Kameyama. Uh-huh. Next, we wanted to know what Asian country did that winning designer come from. Helen, what did Mindy say?
Mindy said Fiji.
Is that correct, Kentaro?
Well, almost.
Almost. Yeah. Pretty close. But what is the correct answer?
I live in Japan, like a little town is called Fiji. So.
Yes. Oh. Sorry, very close, but I don't know if we can give her the point for that. I'm sorry. And then finally wanted to know what fellow designer became his close friend or brother on the show. What did Mindy say?
Mindy said Jim Burrell.
And is that correct, Kentaro?
Well, Brenda's middle name is Jim.
Oh, pretty close.
Hello.
So
Mindy
close.
Isn't that stupid.
Yeah, no, if only that had been the question. What is the correct answer?
Uh-huh.
Who was your brother on the show?
Uh-huh. Jim?
No. You're going to give it? No, on the show, though.
Okay,
your
Brandon.
Friend was Brandon. Yeah. Yes, Brandon. It was Brandon.
Brandon.
I'm sorry, no point there.
Okay.
Kentaro, if people want to find out more about you or your work, they can leave after here and go to the fashion show, mm-hmm. or where can they find you on the internet and social media?
Kentaro Kameyama.
There's your answer. We're certainly happy to have Mr. Kentaro Kameyama. What an honor. Thank you, sir. Helen, let's get a score recap at the end of that round.
At the end of that round, Mindy Sterling has 3 points and Dylan Brody has 2 points with a round of questions coming up.
That's right. We're going to talk with Dylan about a topic he knows about. Plus later, Mindy and Dylan will go head-to-head in our Fast Facts round to find our winner on Go Fact Yourself.
Hi, I'm the JV Club podcast, Janet Varney, and I used to suffer from indecision. I couldn't choose between Star Wars and Star Trek, whether to call or text, or the best way to cook my eggs. But now, thanks to my weekly dose of We Got This on Maximum Fun, my decisions are made for me. Thanks, Mark and Hal!
Warning, We Got This may cause shouting, phone throwing, the illusion that the hosts can hear you, laughter on public transit, and death.
We Got This with Mark and Hal. We know what's best.
Welcome back to Go Fact Yourself, where our score is Mindy Sterling with 3 points and Dylan Brody with 2 points. Once again, here's J. Keith Van Stratton.
Thank you, Helen. Thanks, everybody. Dylan Brody, my friend, of your many interests, you told us you know a lot about Nikola Tesla, Korean martial arts, and the John Byrne, Chris Claremont era of X-Men. Let's find a little bit about each of those. First of all, you said you know a lot about Nikola Tesla.
I do. I wrote a screenplay about Nikola Tesla, as a result of which I had to do a lot of research.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fascinating guy. He was the guy who gave us alternating current, had to convince Edison that it was time to give up direct current and move to alternate. That's why Edison went around the country with his little dog and pony show where he electrocute monkeys to prove that alternating current was too dangerous to use, thereby creating the electric chair.
Science, everybody, science.
Nikola Tesla, he designed the Niagara Falls generator.
Is that right?
Really?
And what about him appeals to you personally?
He was pure science. Mm. He wasn't in it for profit. He only got like a third of the things he invented patented because he felt, for instance, that electricity itself, like fire, should be free. That to charge for electricity was like having to pay a royalty to Prometheus's family for lighting a match. And he's a little known figure, although he did more than Westinghouse and Edison combined.
All right. You also said you know a lot about Korean martial arts.
When I quit smoking pot before I bought cufflinks, I needed something new to fight depression, and I got heavily into martial arts for all the time since. Mm-hmm. I have a fourth degree black belt in Taekwondo, which makes me a master. Third degree black belt in Hapkido, which...
And what is it about the Korean martial arts that appeals to you especially?
You know what? It was the studio that I walked into where I felt at home and loved. My master, Jin Ki Lim, runs JK Taekwondo in Burbank and Glendale. He has a bunch of franchises now. And he was such a kind and generous and supportive human that I never wanted to leave.
Wonderful.
Wow. My Korean Taekwondo master was so not kind that I only made it to yellow belt.
Well, if you would like private training, I promise to be kind.
Do you guys know what yellow belt is?
The lowest?
It's the lowest one.
And
it's,
yet...
It's white and then yellow.
You made it past white?
Yeah.
You're ahead of me. And then finally, Dylan, you said you know a lot about the John Byrne, Chris Claremont era of X-Men.
Hugely important to me.
From what I understand, those are comic books.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, let's for those who don't know, tell us about what it is.
During the late 70s, early 80s, at around the time that I was leaving home and going to prep school, I had read comic books through my childhood, and then suddenly it turned into literature for me. Mm. And there was a sense of depth and import to what they were doing with the series. They took the series through two major sagas, multi-issue storylines that meant a great deal to me as a kid.
How old were you?
14 to 16 in there, somewhere 14 to 17, I think.
All right, well, so to summarize, you said you know a lot about Nikola Tesla, Korean martial arts, and the John Byrne, Chris Claremont era of X-Men. Today we're going to quiz you about the John Byrne, Chris Claremont era of X-Men. As far as that era goes, is there a favorite book or a favorite storyline that you have?
The Dark Phoenix saga was really kind of extraordinary. It spoke directly to me about my angst and my fears at the time.
Have you read them since?
On and off. There was a point when I was dead broke in my late 20s when I sold my collection. So... I had a copy of 134, and it was very difficult for me to part with that issue.
Yeah.
I don't think I've read them since then, but I read them over and over again when I had them.
And do they hold up, like, in adulthood?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They were instrumental not only in my psyche, but they were a change in the whole Marvel universe in a lot of ways.
All right, well, just ahead, we're going to enlist the help of a bona fide expert on that topic to test your mastery in the subject with our expert level question. But before that, to give you a chance to show off, here are five trivia questions about your topic, each worth 1 point. If you want it, you're allowed a total of 2 hints for these 5 questions. Mindy, do listen closely.
Oh, gosh,
yes. You can steal if Dylan gets any wrong. Mindy, by the way, how much do you know about the John Byrne, Chris Claremont era of X-Men?
We'll see.
All right, more... More of a later era X-Men fan,
yeah, I think. Yeah, maybe.
All right, here's question number one. The Byrne Claremont era of comics was printed and distributed by what publisher?
Marvel.
Helen?
That is correct.
That's a gimme. There's 1 point for you, Dylan.
I'm sorry. I'll try to be more entertaining with my answers. Go ahead.
That's all right. Okay. Question number two. Some things changed in the Byrne Claremont era, but some things didn't, like the sound that was made when X-Man Nightcrawler teleports. What is that onomatopoeic sound?
It changed?
No, it did not change. It stayed the same.
Oh, it did not change. I know this. Also, the middle name of a dear friend's daughter, Bamf.
Helen?
That is correct.
That is correct. Bamf.
Oh, Bamf.
your friend middle named his daughter Bamf.
Yes.
In honor of that?
I don't believe so, no.
I'm a little disappointed now.
Nora Bamf Aurora Stewart.
You want to talk more about comic books now?
No, I want to talk more about
Nora.
Okay,
great. So how is Nora doing?
Nora's doing great. In fact, you know what? She is the daughter of somebody that I knew during this very period in my
life. Question number three.
Go ahead.
It was called the Byrne Claremont era, but who was the inker for every one of these comics? Dylan taking his glasses off, resting his head in his palm.
I need a hint. I need a hint on this.
Mindy making clucking noises.
I definitely need a hint.
Helen, how about that first hint?
His last name is the capital city of a U.S. state.
Okay, I have no idea. I knew there was a time when I would have known this.
Just pick a capital.
It was Ken Albany.
Ellen, was it Ken Albany?
No.
No, Mindy with a chance to steal.
The state?
Capital city of a U.S. state.
Yeah, name a capital city that might be the last name of this inker. And if you get this, I think this place is going to erupt. In a happiness.
Tallahassee.
Helen, is it Tallahassee?
Nah.
No, the answer we were looking for was Terry Austin. Terry Austin of Austin, Texas. No point there. Let's see if you can bounce back with number four. The Byrne Claremont era lasted 35 issues from December 1977 to March 1981. Give us the issue number of either the first or last issue of that era.
I think it would have started around 127 and ended around 143. Is that close?
Well, we're asking, again, okay. I can't tell you until you give me an answer.
I'm going to say 127.
127, Helen.
That is not correct.
Not correct. Mindy with a chance to steal.
128.
Ooh, playing Price is Right style. I like it. Helen, is that correct?
Nah.
No, I'm sorry. 143 was a correct answer for when it ended. You didn't go with that one. Little oven range syndrome happening again. 108 is when it started, issue number 108. All right, let's see if you can bounce back with question number five. X-Men comics of this era didn't just have great stories and art. They had some memorable ads as well. What football player appeared in some of these issues' ads for spot-built shoes and dingo boots?
I'm going to guess just based on period Joe Namath.
Helen, is it Joe Namath?
No, it's not.
Very
Joe
reasonable
Namath.
Guess, but I'm terribly sorry, not correct. Mindy with a chance to steal.
Nipsey Russell.
Helen, what is it, was it that great football player, Nipsey Russell?
No.
He was
best known for writing rhyming poems while he ran the field.
Yeah. I got the ball and I'm going to run it all. I don't know if that was offensive or inspired, but I'll take
excellent
both.
Excellent impression, sir.
No. It actually was someone who became famous for something other than football much later, a fellow named O.J. Simpson.
Oh.
O.J. Simpson was in many ads in the X-Men comics.
That guy.
So glad we brought that up. All right, Dylan, you struggled a little bit toward the end, but you can bounce back with this. Here is your expert-level question that requires multiple answers. It is time for your cluster fact. We'll be bringing on an expert to assess your response. The correct answer is worth up to 3 points. Dylan, the Uncanny X-Men number 123 opens with Spider-Man lamenting how broke he is because he just paid his taxes. He then runs into one of the X-Men with a romantic interest in Greenwich Village. For up to 3 points, who are those two lovebirds, and what well-known writer is seen in the background during this encounter?
I imagine it would be Colossus and Kitty.
All right.
Oh, no, it would have to be, it would be Scott Summers and Jean Grey.
Okay, Scott Summers and Jean Grey.
Yes. I'm going to say John Michener.
John Michener. All right, so to summarize, your answers are, it was Scott Summers, it was Jean Grey, and Michener?
Michener.
And Michener, all right. No compliment on my summarizing there?
Hemingway. I'm going to say Hemingway.
You're changing your answer.
I'm changing my answer to Hemingway, because he's the only person I can imagine being recognizable in a comic book panel.
All right. Are those your answers locked in now?
No, Stephen King. I'm going to go with Stephen King. I'm going to go with John Scott Summers, Jean Grey, and that would be Cyclops and Marvel Girl, later to become Phoenix, and Stephen King.
Okay. I think there's a period at the end of that sentence. I'm going to go with it. All right. Helen is taking note of those answers. We have an expert on hand who can tell us for sure. Helen, who do we have tonight?
Here with us tonight, via phone from Chicago, is a New York Times best-selling author, Eisner Award-winning comics industry hall of famer, and co-writer of the best-selling comic book issue of all time. It's Chris Claremont.
Chris Claremont. Hello, Chris Claremont. Are you there?
I sure hope so.
Now, Chris Claremont, I believe I've heard of you in the name of this topic that we're discussing this evening.
I'm sorry, what topic?
Chris Claremont, this is Dylan Brody, and before we go any further with this show, thank you so much for existing.
Well, so far so good.
I would say so. Tell us what you're doing in Chicago at the moment.
Trying to recover from 3 days of conventioning at C2E2.
That's right. That's the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo. What do you do there when you're conventioning?
Well, usually walk around and see friends and enjoy the weekend. This was rather surprisingly different. I spent 3 days sitting in a chair greeting an endless column of readers and fans.
How lovely.
It was wonderful. It was sort of like a contest between me and George Perez across the aisle to see whose line was longer and never ending.
Who won that contest?
Oh, George, obviously.
Oh, all right.
George,
well, there you
because
go.
Because much cooler than I am.
I'm taking a risk saying what I'm about to say because I may get booed, but I have never read an X-Men comic. But I have heard of characters like Legion, the New Mutants, Rogue, Gambit, Sabretooth, Kitty Pryde, the White Queen, all of which you created.
And as of 4 days ago, they are now property once more of Marvel Entertainment.
Oh,
and
that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Yes. So,
we just made the Murdochs very, very rich.
Well, how does that affect you, and how do you see these characters being integrated going forward?
Well, there's this big event happening in the Marvel film universe this year, and it would kind of help everybody if at the end of it, when Thanos went back to wherever he goes, suddenly there were a whole bunch of new heroes for the Marvel Universe to play with. Well, and since the Fantastic Four are the flagship characters of Marvel and of Marvel Comics, and the X-Men kind of took that role a decade later, I think that it's only fitting that they should be back where they belong.
I very much want to live in your brain.
Well, let's go back a little bit about how you first got involved. How did you get the gig writing the X-Men?
I wrestled Len Wein to the floor and said, give me it.
Now, I do know who Len Wein was. For those who don't, tell us about who Len Wein was at the time, and then we'll talk about how Len has a lot of connection with this show.
Well, Len Wein was the first writer of the revived X-Men. But unfortunately, he had a day job, which was editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics. And I was his associate editor, so I lived, basically, my desk was right outside his office. And he, unlike Stan, who would often not close his door. So I'm sitting there listening to Len and Dave Cockrum plot Giant Size X-Men number one. And every few minutes, Len would look up, and I'd be inside the office taking notes. And where I got involved was in the first issue that Dave and Len were doing, they had to get rid of this living island in the South Pacific, because that's where all living islands live, the South Pacific. And I just sat there and said, it's a fiery neighborhood. And it was a volcano. And I said, well, you know, it's a rock that sticks its head up out of the ocean, yes. So why don't you just cut the rock and let it float away into space? And Len looks at me as if I'm an idiot, but I said, look, you've got 14 X-Men, including Polaris and, you know, a bunch of other characters. They could use their powers and just punch it out of the atmosphere, and then the Earth orbiting the sun will just leave it behind in a matter of minutes. You know, Dave looked at Len looked at Dave, and they both said, well, works for me.
Wow.
And that was how they got rid of Krakoa. So, yeah, what happened soon after was Len decided to leave his position as editor-in-chief, probably because somebody kept kicking in the door and saying, I have a better idea. And unfortunately, his severance package as writer of the top four monthly titles we published then didn't leave him time enough to do the bi-monthly X-Men.
Ah.
And so he said, you know, he was going to offer it to whoever was outside his door, and I didn't even give him the chance. I just said, I want the book. Heck. He caved and let me do it, and I've been incredibly grateful, and he's been incredibly pissed ever since. The thing with Len is he created some of the primal franchises of comic book history, both for DC and for Marvel, and it's something that should never be forgotten. We should be standing up and saying, there's Len, the 1970s equivalent of Stan, because both DC and Marvel have benefited from his creativity, his brilliance, his inspiration, and dang it, he deserves it.
Absolutely. I think we can all agree with that. I should say, you know, I don't know a lot about comic books, but I definitely have a connection with Len. He was actually a very good pal, and the show is a connection with Len. When we first did a pilot episode of this show, Len was one of our guests. It was just a few months before he passed away, and that's available to listeners on the Maximum Fun listener panel, or listener feed. I'm not sure what it's called exactly. But Len was a great pal, and I'm happy to say that Len's widow, Christine, is our show's photographer. She's here with us tonight. and helped arrange us to be able to talk with you tonight. And so I know it means a lot to Christine. It means a lot to me to be able to hear you speak so kindly about Len, and the fact that a lot of people, including myself, can speak so glowingly about him with no connection whatsoever to his work, you know, just as a person.
Well, it's not kindness, it's the truth. Mm. With Len, it's easy.
Yeah. Helen mentioned in your introduction that you are the co-writer of the best-selling comic book issue of all time. That was that issue number one of the new X-Men?
It's X-Men 1, yeah.
X-Men,
the second
X-Men
iteration.
That's amazing. They sold, if I've read this correctly, over 7.5 million issues. It's incredible. How did you find out that this was taking off and was setting this record?
Well, technically, it's 7.9 copies of an 8.2 print run. But who's counting?
I'm certainly not. That's it. Wait, so they knew, they anticipated needing 8.2 million copies of that issue?
Chris Claremont was writing X-Men. They knew they needed copies.
Okay, fair enough.
Hey, well, no, what happened was we were starting this new series. I was writing it. Jim Lee was drawing it. And in those days, what you did was send out the solicitation sheet to comic book retailers across the country, of which there were a great many in those days, and everybody ordered. They ordered what they thought they would sell. And apparently they thought they would sell a lot. And to everyone's surprise, they did. And no one was more surprised than us, because it was like, wow, we were happy in the days when we sold 500,000 copies this issue. Cool.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the numbers just went through the roof, and we were like, wow, this is really cool.
Absolutely. Dylan, is there anything you'd like to ask or say to Chris Claremont besides thanking him for existing?
Didn't cover? The stuff that went on during the Dark Phoenix saga allowed me to feel as though there was a place for my imagination and my inner life in the world at a time when I desperately needed that connection. And it was so important to me that I am genuinely moved to be having you on the phone with me. So thank you for agreeing to do this.
I shouldn't laugh. Oh, you're more than welcome. I'm awestruck to be asked. It's like, I just write comic books. What's going on here?
As long as everybody in the conversation feels awkward and awestruck, I think we're doing fine.
All right. Well, let's get to the reason that we brought you here as far as our game is concerned. You heard the question that we asked of Dylan. We wanted to know, in X-Men number 123, who were the two lovebirds that Spider-Man encountered in Greenwich Village? Helen, what was the name of the X-Men that Dylan gave as an answer?
Dylan said Scott Summers.
And Mr. Claremont?
That's right.
That's correct. That's 1 point for Dylan.
Yes.
Scott Summers, a.k.a. Cyclops, was that X-Man. Next, we wanted to know who was the romantic interest that was with Scott Summers. Helen, what did Dylan say?
Dylan said Jean Grey.
And Chris Claremont?
Oh, gee, not quite.
No,
It was actually Colleen Wing.
Oh, sure.
No, yes, sure. That makes sense now, but now it's now it's too late. And then finally, wanted to know who was the well-known writer who was seen in the background. Helen, what did Dylan eventually say?
Dylan eventually said Stephen King.
And Chris Claremont?
Well, Stephen King did sell a novel to a publisher that got them to reject my novel submitted at the same time with a similar content.
So naturally, you wanted to put him in the comic. Yeah. No, who was it in the background?
Oh, it was me taking notes.
It was him. It was Chris Claremont. How about that?
Yeah. What do you think? This is all fiction? We go around taking notes. Haven't you ever read Stan's issues? Stan and Jack would follow the FF around and take notes and draw pictures, and that's how I would do it with the X-Men.
Comics are fun, aren't they? All right, Chris, I could talk with you all night, and I'm sure Dylan could as well, but we do have to move on. If people want to find out more about you or your work, where can they go?
Basically, chrisclaremont.com, because I still haven't figured out the internet.
That you figured out plenty, believe me. We're certainly happy to have you, Mr. Chris Claremont, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, Chris. We're going to say goodbye. Have a great evening, and thank you again for joining us. Helen, let's get a score recap as we head into the final round.
At the end of that round, Mindy Sterling has 3 points, and Dylan Brody has 5 points.
All right, it is now time for our final round. We call Fast Facts. I'll read 10 statements, and each contestant will answer with true or false. I'll start with Mindy and alternate between each guest. Each correct answer is worth 1 point. This will determine the winner. Again, the answer to each statement is true or false. Here we begin. Mindy, basketball was named after a guy named Basket.
False.
Correct.
Dylan, the original basket in basketball was a picnic basket.
False.
Correct.
Mindy, the original basket in basketball was an Easter basket.
False.
Correct.
Dylan, the original basket in basketball was a peach basket.
True.
Correct.
Mindy, the original ball in basketball was a peach.
False.
Correct.
Dylan, the original ball in basketball was a tennis ball.
False.
Correct.
Mindy, the original ball in basketball was a soccer ball.
False.
Incorrect.
No, but the first incorrect response
True.
Of the game. No, no, you do not get, you only get one guess, I'm
oh,
sorry.
All right, whatever.
Where were we? Okay, here. Dylan, there is a basketball court in the top of the Matterhorn in Switzerland.
False.
Correct.
Mindy, there is a basketball court in the top of the Matterhorn at Disneyland.
True.
Correct.
Dylan, there is a basketball court in the top of the U.S. Supreme Court.
False.
Incorrect.
No, there really is. It's on the top floor. They call it the highest court in the land. And finally, Mindy, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is known for being aggressive in the paint and dunking on her fellow players.
True.
That was just for fun. No, no. With a no count. But let's give a nice hand to both of our contestants, Dylan Brody and Mindy Sterling, as Helen tabulates the final score. Helen, are you ready to reveal the winner of today's episode?
I am. At the end of the game, Mindy Sterling has 7 points and Dylan Brody has 9 points.
Congratulations, Yay! Dylan Brody. You are the facting champion, but Yay! A very respectable showing by Mindy Sterling.
Yay!
Dylan, what will you do with your championship?
I intend to use it to help people overcome hunger and sadness.
I didn't know that was possible. All right, that leads me to give the opportunity for everyone here to promote any upcoming products, appearances, or services. Mindy, where can people find you?
Well, let's see. Instagram, I'm Mindy Stir. And Twitter, I'm Ms. Mindy Sterling. And that's all.
That's all, but that is plenty. We're happy to have Ms. Mindy Sterling. Dylan Brody, what about you, my friend?
You can find all about me and where I'm performing and stuff at dylanbrody.com. And if you're interested in writing the thing you've been talking about writing and thinking about writing and pretty much not writing, you can go to activevoiceproductions.com, all one word, activevoiceproductions.com.
That is run by Mr. Dylan Brody. Nice Yay! To see you again, sir. You lucky, lucky people have your co-host as Ms. Helen Hong.
Yay!
What do you have going on, my friend?
You can find my performance calendar at helenhong.com and follow me on the socials at funnyhelenhong.
And hopefully see you on ABC this fall.
Yay!
Yay! And me, you can find me on social media, Twitter at @j_Keith and on Instagram at jkeith.net, all spelled out. Also, please check out our new website, as of this recording, at gofactorypod.com. That just leaves me to thank Mindy Sterling, Dylan Brody, Kentaro Kameyama, Chris Claremont, Helen Hong. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, all at gofactorypod, and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. I'm J. Keith Van Stratton. Good night.
Yay!
Thank you, J. Keith Van Stratton.
Thank you.
Like what you hear? Come see us live. It's free. Go to GoFactorPod.com for a schedule and tickets. And give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts like Nerfed Birds did. He, she, or they said, excellent comedy trivia show. I now have more info to annoy my family with. Congratulations and thank you, Nerfed Birds. Ellen?
Go Fact Yourself is a panel quiz program devised by Jim Newman and J. Keith Van Stratton and comes to you via transcription from the Angel City Brewery in downtown Los Angeles. Questions on Go Fact Yourself were compiled by the Trivia Industrial Complex. It is produced in collaboration with Maximum Fun. Go Fact Yourself's theme song and incidental music were written and performed by Jonathan Green. Maximum Fun's senior producer is Laura Swisher. The show is edited by Julian Burrell. Dave McKeever is our live sound engineer. Special thanks to Christian Malmeen, Oliver Randall, G. Paul Bailey, Kurt Carley, Beth Fleischer, Ben Claremont, Bob Skier, Cody Lawrence, Clint Tauscher, CJ Miller, Mike Avianos, Dave Bianchi, Eric Tran, and Christine Vallada. I've been Helen Hong!
Let's go to a fashion show! Hey, it's Jay Keith again. Here's a little bit of what you're going to hear on the next episode of Go Fact Yourself.
He is a comedian and writer who co-hosts the podcast Movie Night and whose stand-up special Take Note is streaming on Stars now. It's Dwayne Perkins!
Dwayne Perkins!
When you watch those home shows and people are searching for a home, and especially if they're somewhere else in the country, Midwest, down south, and like they're so picky and you're like, you can't believe their prices because, like, their mortgage is my cell phone payment.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's all here on Go Fact Yourself, every first and third Friday here at MaximumFun.org.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.